You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you the most interesting bits in world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared just for you on this meal for your mind. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on another crazy episode. A moderate amount of news to get to, so we're going to try and keep this, pretty...
Sprightly.
Sprightly? I mean, I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see how things go, you know. We play it by
We try,
but we'll see. last week's episode went a little too long, but it was all right. It was fun.
But and that's the key here. Everybody's just having fun.
Yep. So before we get into all the news topics at hand, Mikey, what's up? What's happening in Costanzo country?
It's going well. It's doing a thing. This week. Well, because this weekend, my time was split equally between watching Succession and eating food.
Those are
the only two activities I did all weekend, because on Saturday we got together and we watched Succession.
Yes, because Mikey hadn't watched the third season, he's all caught up.
I'm all caught up, watched the entirety of the third season. We also gorged ourselves.
Yes, a lot of food. Great.
It was amazing. And then the very next day is my family's Easter meat pie. We call it pitikina. I don't know what you guys call it.
Yeah, we just call it meat pie. We didn't have a fancy Italian word for it.
The real term, I learned this. I had to research it because every time I would talk about it, people were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, pitikina, it's meat pie. And like, but every time I would talk to another Italian, they would never know what pitikina is because it's a regional dialect.
It's your family's regional dialect.
It's steamed hams.
Yeah. It's an Albany expression.
It's an Albany expression. For all the Simpsons fans out there. But I looked it up. It's pita rapieni, or I think that's how you pronounce it.
In Italian. Okay.
So we shortened it to pitikina. Anyway, so we made that. It's delicious. Soppressata, pork, egg, cheese, all in a thing of homemade bread. Everybody's pie is different. I love it.
Right. Now, my family, my mom does the meat pie, but she does it, like, she makes it ahead of time, but we all have it on Easter.
The
actual Easter dinner, you have it.
Right. We do it, like a week or two ahead of time. And then
you get it out of the way.
Well, because every weekend is something different. So one weekend is pitikina. One weekend is all the baked goods. You guys do like the rice.
We do a rice pie, yeah.
We do it. I'll call it a pie.
I hope you guys are Italian, by the way.
Everyone's like already.
Anybody that's not Italian or doesn't have any friends that are Italian, they're like, how many things are you guys planning?
I didn't realize it until Jordan mentioned it to me that like Easter, just like Christmas, is like a sprint for Italians.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Like with my family, it's like every week is a different food making ceremony.
Yeah.
Thing. It's like one week is meat pie, one week is baking, then it's actually Easter. You guys just cram it all into one, which is really ambitious.
As much as we can, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a big deal.
It's good. I can already feel the meat pie.
You can already feel the indigestion.
It's already coming through in my esophagus. It's great. So there you go.
We got more of that to look forward to.
Yeah.
But that's what I did this weekend was we watched Succession, which was fantastic. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. It will win best drama. Or it already won best drama.
Yeah.
So I'm right.
There you go. Fantastic.
And I ate a whole lot of meat. So... What were you up to other than watching Succession?
So other than watching Succession with you this weekend, I actually went to a concert, which is rare. You know, other than Ghost, you know, I don't know how many concerts I'm going to get to go to this year. I mean, we're still kind of, you know, coming out of COVID.
Right.
And it's funny because I kind of feel like in-person concerts are still on this weird shaky ground where they want people to come back, but they also still want people to be safe and
it's like
healthy.
Yes, come back, but mosh pit maybe not a great idea.
Yeah,
kind of thing,
which doesn't flow for rock because we want to have our pits to dance crazily in.
Yeah,
so it's a weird kind of ebb and flow. And one of the shows that that happened this week that I was at was Mammoth and Dirty Honey. They played at the Fillmore. And
never heard of them.
Well, Mammoth you have heard of. Because
oh, yes. They've been on one of the... Were they on one of the music band games, I think? At some point.
I don't believe so. But Mammoth is Wolfgang Van Halen's band. The son of Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, he's legit. He's the real deal. So speaking of COVID, he was actually down a bandmate. His keyboardist wasn't actually available for the Philadelphia show
because of COVID.
So he was down from four to a three piece band. But they still put together a full set.
Well, did they? I mean, they must have just brought in another keyboardist.
No.
Right? No?
Three people.
Okay.
Ran with it. And Wolfgang did a couple of changes to the lineup, including playing an acoustic version of his Grammy-nominated song, Distance.
Okay.
So that was interesting. It was like a stripped-down, unplugged version instead of the traditional rock version
of it. It's always cool to hear musicians do that.
Yeah. He did a tribute to Taylor Hawkins,
of course,
by playing My Hero, in which he had to help the drummer get the two, there's a difficult drum part in the beginning of that song, and the drummer couldn't actually, like, get it yet, so he took, like, the one part of it.
Oh, my God.
And the drummer did the other part of it to start off the song.
Oh, my God.
So, it was funny, we were saying backstage that, He played bass in his father's run of Van Halen a couple years ago. So he knows how to play bass. We knew he can play the guitar. We know he can sing. So we were like, the only thing he's missing is drumming. Oh, wait a minute. He's drumming right now.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to...
He's a quadruple threat.
He might turn into like a little Dave Grohl where he's just going to play all the...
Sometimes you get musicians that are just so talented, they just can... pick up and play anything.
Yeah, and I feel Wolfgang Van Halen, he's the real deal. I mean, he really blew us away. I mean, the Philadelphia crowd ate him up. I mean, that was one of the loudest ovations I've ever heard.
Wow.
So, I'm telling you, I like it. I think Mammoth and Wolfgang Van Halen, I think they're the real deal. I could see them going far.
Cool.
He's already got the name. Everybody knows who Van Halen
is.
Right,
name recognition and brand recognition
so
is a big part of it.
That's not a problem. Yeah. So all he's got to do is perform. And coming from what we saw at the Fillmore last week, he was awesome. So I'm very interested to see how his career projects.
Okay,
and he's our age. He's 31.
That's offensive.
So
that's
sky's
awesome.
The limit for him.
Yeah.
So very happy with that performance. And it was good to be back out into a concert scene as well.
Nice.
So hopefully that's a sign of things returning to normal as well. All right, let's get to some more traditional headlines that we need to get to. We're going to go into the world of sports. Time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face, and we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less with a two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
There you go. What do you got?
All right. First up in the two-minute drill, a little bit of local basketball news. 73-year-old Fran Dunphy is the new head coach for LaSalle basketball.
Woo!
That means he's now coached three out of the big five Philly schools. And I have a feeling that Rich added this one.
Yeah.
Repping his alma mater.
I know. This is interesting that we poached Penn and Temple head coach Fran Dunphy. Honestly, I think this is just a call to get back to a traditional, stable, and reputable men's college basketball program. The hard truth is that the last time LaSalle had any success in the men's basketball arena, I was in college with the South Philly Floater. That was already 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will get him back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. So big move right there by LaSalle to get back into the swing of things. But it's just as March Madness is actually ending, came to a close this weekend with UNC once again upsetting Duke, which is hilarious.
Yeah, spoiled Coach K's retirement twice.
I love when there's a spoiler, but unfortunately things were spoiled for Nova as well. They lost to the eventual NCAA champion, Kansas.
Yep, Kansas
so
wins.
This is kind of boring, yeah. Right? I mean, Kansas is like always there. Like, it's always these four teams or some variation of these four teams at the end of it, right?
Yeah, but North Carolina, they just had that spoiler streak going.
That was nice.
And they were actually up 15 points at one point in the championship game. So they were on the verge of spoiling it for Kansas.
Wow.
But Kansas came back and was able to eke out the championship win on Monday night. So almost pulled off the grand upset spoiler championship. But nope, Kansas finishes as your champion. So congratulations to all the people that had Kansas as your national champion. You probably are the winner of your March Madness pools. So go check that out. Look, it's gambling.
I just think of the one and only time I did a March Madness thing was all the way back in high school. And I literally picked teams randomly. I was like, that name sounds fun. That school's a high-ranked number.
That's still a strategy. You never know.
I didn't do two. I think I came in like fourth.
I mean, look.
I picked them randomly.
This year, who would have thought the St. Peter's Peacocks would make it all the way to the Elite Eight?
Honestly, I would have been the fool that would have picked them to go far because of their stupid name.
Right. You never know.
I keep on mixing them up and calling them St. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
That's a lot of saints there.
Yeah.
Too many saints. That's almost a violation of the sainthood sports rule. That's too many saints interfering on your behalf.
Does that come directly from the Vatican? I can't remember.
I think so. We got to call Pope Frankie up.
It was part of like Edict 47.
Yeah, call Pope Frankie up. Let him know that we got to address this issue.
I wonder if Pope Frankie was tuning into WrestleMania because some big headlines came out of that recently.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention this. This WrestleMania kind of felt like it was another end of an era. It was like a big period. I'm not going to go over all the matches because they had two nights full of matches. So
that's a lot of matches.
Go check that out if you're interested in wrestling. But for fans of '90s wrestling, you know, when I was a kid growing up, this was kind of the end of an era. The big headlines were that Stone Cold came back for one more match, which was great to see.
Nice.
And, you know, it's always good to see him just do the stunner and get the beer out and stunner everybody, just giving the finger. You know, that I don't care attitude. It's just great. I love it. Pure chaos, you know. It's perfect for WWE. So it was good to see him back in action for one more match. The Undertaker officially entered the WWE Hall of Fame, and that was pretty special considering his legendary 25-30 year run he's had with the company.
How is he just entering it now? Like,
because he had his official retirement last year.
So it's kind of like football where you have to wait until after you retire.
Well, they do the Hall of Fame induction, whatever the nominees are, they do the induction the night before WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he had to actually be retired.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
He just wasn't officially retired.
Right. But then kind of the most shocking news was first a interview that Triple H gave with Stephen A. Smith on ESPN and then his official retirement. But let me back up to that interview because it was kind of weird. It was one of these like hearsay rumors, dark theory. Like we didn't know what exactly was happening because we had heard zero news from Triple H's camp, but the story was actually far more dangerous than we had heard. Basically, the only thing that leaked was that he had some kind of cardiac issue, but that was it. And we figured, you know, a guy that, you know, keeps in pretty good health and he's, you know, 50, he's not too old. You thought, it's all right. He's probably got like a little, you know, murmur or something in his heart. Probably fine. But Triple H had this interview with Stephen A. Smith where he let loose everything that went wrong. And boy, I mean, this sounded like the perfect cocktail that could have killed him. I mean, this was...
What actually happened?
So first he contracted pneumonia.
Okay, not good in and of itself.
Yeah, not good, you know, to start off with. But then he noted his breathing was getting heavier and heavier, and he wasn't knocking this out. Ended up going to the ER, and they found out that he had fluid that was leaking from his heart going into his lungs.
Oh, God.
Very serious. Yeah, I mean, and he's only 53. Like, this is...
I don't think you said fluid leaking from anywhere to anywhere else. That sounds like probably a bad thing.
Yeah. So they had to do emergency heart surgery. He had to, you know, stay recovered. And the ultimate aftermath of this is that they had to install a cautionary pacemaker on him.
Oof.
Which, unfortunately, if you can do the math here, that pretty much means he's done. He cannot.
Yeah, I don't think you can wrestle.
He cannot have any contact. He can't even take a bump. Like, he's done. He is.
Yeah.
He can't. Like, you know, sometimes, like, you can do, like, the Vince McMahon thing where, like, I'm going to tell you you're fired. And then, like, I'll, you know, a guy fake punches you and you go down. Uh-uh. He can't even do that.
Wow.
This is, like, game over. Literally, his nickname's the game. So, game over. Like, he cannot.
Jeez.
Do anything like that. He is officially done, and he officially announced his retirement at WrestleMania by doing the tradition of leaving your boots in the ring, which all those veteran wrestling fans know that that was the signal. So this was kind of the end of an era for a lot of 90s
stars. A lot of big names walking away or capping off careers or, you know, what have you. I mean... I know that these are old guys because I know their names.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep. So, yeah, it was definitely a big period to mark on this era as three big guys kind of left their last impressions in the ring. You know, and it's one of those things like Undertaker and Stone Cold, I can understand, like they've had long careers. They've had big injuries and everything like that. But I don't know. The Triple H one still gets me because he almost died.
Right. He's not going out on his own terms. You know, his body gave out on him, you know, so he didn't decide to walk away. He was kind of forced to walk away, you know, which you hate to see anybody in any career, any walk of life, you know.
Yeah. But the good news is Triple H, hey, he married the McMahon daughter, so he'll stay.
Oh, he's fine. He's safe.
Yeah, he'll stay somewhat within the family business, but it'll have to, unfortunately, be pretty much all behind the scenes now at this point.
I mean, could he potentially come back and do, like, not, like, guest things in the ring, but, like, be involved in, because, you know, it's all about the stories and everything. Like, he could still be involved.
Yeah, but, like, they got to be very careful. You know, he can't take a bump. He can't do anything physical, which...
Maybe he can be, like, a puppet master behind the scenes or something. Mm. They find something interesting and write him in as.
Maybe.
You know, a non-combat role.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's kind of tough to write in when it's based on combat.
Everybody in wrestling is just always, like, punching people.
Yeah.
I want to see a good family drama like Succession.
Do you want to just talk about Succession? We could have just done that in the entertainment entree.
No, it's okay. No, it's, like, already a year too old. I got to watch my show sooner.
Yeah, but you know, we could do that later on if we got time. But no, so that was it. I just wanted to mention that for WrestleMania. It was officially the end of an era this week. So I just wanted to mention that before we get into Mikey's favorite topic, some non-playing NFL season news.
This is ridiculous. Well, I have to, you know, I'm going to shuffle things around here because you just mentioned people stepping away from the game. And I think we just should real quick mention off the top a little bit of sad news in football. Former Saints and Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins officially retiring after 13 seasons. I think he spent, six seasons with the Eagles. It was a good long stint here.
Yeah, half with the Saints, half with the Eagles.
Yeah, so... You know, didn't spend his whole career here, and he came from somewhere else, but I think he made a huge impact off the field for us.
He was there for the Super Bowl.
Part of that Super Bowl run and, you know, helped turn that team around before that. And then off the field as well, making, you know, huge contributions to the city and to the area. I mean, just such an upstanding guy and, you know, his work with the Players Union and with social justice movements. Malcolm Jenkins was just really one of those rare players that was like, did everything, you know, almost perfectly.
Yeah.
On and off the field. So it's sad to see a guy like that leave. Two-time Super Bowl champion, three-time Pro Bowler. Probably not a Hall of Famer. He's like the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, if they had that.
Because he's not like a Brian Dawkins level or like, I'm trying to think of other safeties in the hall, like John Lynch.
Yeah, it's tough to be
Ed Reed, like those types of guys.
It's tough to be a defensive player and make it into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You got to be like the best of the best.
Right. Is Troy Polamalu in there?
Yeah.
Maybe Malcolm Jenkins can make it one day.
Maybe.
I think Troy Polamalu was kind of in that same tier.
Mm, okay.
Malcolm Jenkins won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like he should be in it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll have that conversation in, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
In other player moves, we have Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner signing a 5-year, $50 million deal with the LA Rams.
Whew.
The LA Rams are stocking up for a repeat, Rich. Do you think they can do it with Bobby Wagner? I mean, this is a huge move.
Well, look, their motto last offseason was F those picks. Now his motto is F that salary cap, because
just load it up.
Les Snead does not care. The window is wide open right now. He wants to take advantage of it.
I wish more GMs would do that. When you see an opportunity, you have to go all in. The trick is you have to go all in and be accurate, because you could be like the Eagles and go all in and whiff horrifically.
Yeah, dream team, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have another team trying to do that as well with the Patriots. This is weird. I can't believe that division rivals are trading players. That's usually not a thing.
No, it's usually not. And so this one was particularly odd. The Dolphins traded wide receiver Devontae Parker and a 5th-round pick to the New England Patriots for a 2023 3rd-round pick. That seems like very low compensation for, wide receiver who can come in and make, somewhat of a decent contribution.
For New England, they don't really have, a stellar wide receiver core. They have a decent core, but not...
Parker's not going to go out and become like a top 5 wide receiver with them.
No.
But he's a, a decent addition.
He's going to be an improvement.
He's going to be an improvement, a decent addition, and a solid starter.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, the Dolphins.
And right next to Aguilar.
Well, those two will take him right to the top.
Oh, yeah.
They'll catch everything that comes their way.
Yeah.
But we got to get to the big non-playing season news, and this just happened earlier this week. Pretty shocking. The Eagles finally making a move in the offseason, swapping 1st-round picks with the New Orleans Saints for a bundle of future picks.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about this.
This is a very standard Howie move, a very standard Eagles move. So,
oh, good for you!
I was waiting for the audio cue.
Yes.
So let's go over. Let's break down what each team gets.
Knew I was going to play that. Yeah,
I know. I was waiting. I was like, he's going to play something. I see his hand hovering. I'm like, he's going to play something.
Very good.
Oh, good for you.
So let's break down what these teams each get. So the Saints get the number 16th and the number 19th overall pick this year, as well as the 194th pick. The Eagles are moving to the 18th pick, and they also pick up the 101st, the 237th, which every time I see something like that in a trade, I automatically think, really? Like, what is that? A value of like 5?
Yeah, 5 points.
They have that draft valuation chart.
Yeah,
thing?
Like isn't the first overall pick like 2,000?
It's like something like 2,000 points. So what's the 237th pick? Like
5th. Yeah, 5 points.
5 points.
Good job.
But here's the key thing. We also get a 1st-round pick in 2023 and a 2nd-round pick in 2024. So in the next 2 drafts, we're stocking up in those first 2 rounds. So next year we have 2 first-round picks again. And in 2024, we have at least 2 second-round picks. A lot of draft capital move around in 2023 and 2024. And still this year, we have 15 and 18.
Yeah, nothing happened to the 15th pick. So the Eagles still have 2 first-round picks.
We still have 2 picks. And people are saying online it's interesting that they're both before the Saints. So, the Eagles might be able to create some interesting situations there where, they let a rumor slip that they're going to take somebody that the Saints are looking for and maybe force like another trade on draft day. I think that's too elaborate. I think what's going to happen are the Saints are going to package the 16th and the 19th and jump up into the top 10, maybe get their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, that a lot of people are saying that was the logic for the Saints.
That's what makes the most sense. So they want to leapfrog. I think it was Carolina and someone else.
Well, Carolina's in their own division. They would definitely want to get ahead of them.
Yeah, especially since they're both kind of looking for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
they were both in the Deshaun Watson hunt.
Yes, they were. And they both lost.
Yeah. So.
Although, who really lost in that one?
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out. So, the pulse on this, I mean, like, not surprising, not exciting, but also not bad. Like, I like the move because it gives us lots of extra capital in the future and maintains some of our capital for this year. You know, we still have two first-round picks in the top, you know, roughly half of the first round. So,
I hate to say it, but a move like this makes me feel like the Eagles front office knows that Jalen Hurts isn't the franchise quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
I think everything they've done this season is 100% heading in that direction.
Yeah, because we all know that this year's quarterback class, there's only one or two decent quarterbacks, so they're going to come off the board before the Eagles can even whiff at them.
Right.
However, next year's draft is allegedly supposed to be pretty good on the quarterback class, like 4 to 5 top prospects. So to me, the fact that the Eagles are willing to kick one of their picks down the road to next year instead of trying to load up on offensive line and defensive line, which is kind of the highlight of this year's draft, kind of signals to me that they're going to punt this year and, you know,
hope
that Jalen Hurts has a decent year, but their aim is to really go for the gusto next year.
Here's the thing with the Eagles and, offensive line picks specifically, they've had a lot of success recently with turning later round picks into stars. You know, really, it's just Lane Johnson on that line who was a top tier first rounder. Everybody else is 6th, 7th, 5th. You know, they're late round picks. So I can see the Eagles saying, maybe we don't reach for an offensive lineman when we have really good offensive linemen and a really good coach who can take later round picks and turn them into diamonds. But like you were saying, you'll appreciate this. They're hedging their bets.
Yeah.
You know, they're keeping 2 in this year, 2 in next year. They have a lot of flexibility now because if somebody like the Saints wants to jump up or somebody wants to jump up in front of the Saints, because again, we have those picks just ahead of both of them in both cases, you know, the Eagles have a lot of ammunition there to wheel and deal on draft day. I could still see them trading down on draft day.
Yeah, that's
maybe
the worst part.
Maybe banking another second rounder next year or something like that. I could totally see that happening.
Yep. So, yeah, but again, like,
it's not exciting. It's not what I wanted. I wanted them to, like, every offseason, the Eagles come out, they're like, well, we signed depth players, and everyone's like, yay. And we also traded down for an extra, like, the 237th pick. That is such a Howie move.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we love loading up in the 6th and 7th rounds. Like, you hit on any of them ever. You can barely hit on the first rounders. What makes you think you're going to hit on a 7th rounder?
Yeah. So
and don't give me the Jordan Mailata thing. That's 1 in a million.
Yeah. I'm not really too thrilled by this trade. I was like, when I saw it happen, I was like, man, that sounds like Howie doing this weird cockamamie.
It makes sense. It's a good, I mean,
trade
here's
draft
the thing.
Chart.
It's a good trade. It's just not exciting. Like,
yeah.
It offers good value. It's just the most boring thing you can do before the draft.
I don't know if it's good, to be honest with you, because you're essentially admitting that you're not going to play it hard this year.
I think that's where we differ, because I was already assuming that's what they were going to do.
Yeah, but, you know,
you don't want to admit it.
You don't want to admit it outright.
I did. I was like, they're definitely not sold on Hurts.
You know?
They're
like,
definitely not.
Yeah, like, to me, this signifies Jalen Hurts' time with Philadelphia is going to be on a clock. Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's is, but I mean, like, it's really
right.
going to be coming
it's like
up
an,
soon.
Like an actual clock.
Like, what? So Hurts is on, what, his third year coming
this is,
up?
This is his third season. This is supposed to be the year where quarterbacks make or break it.
I don't know. I don't think he gets a 5th-year contract
no.
extension. I think he's done after.
No, I think he's done, too.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. I don't know. To me, this.
Yeah, but did you want Hurts to be long-term? Like, do you want Hurts to be, because this is the question we've had before. When it comes time to sign that 5th year, are you going to extend it for $150 million? Because that is the new norm with quarterbacks. Yeah,
I guess not. But it's just a shame that this is kind of being already put out there in the open, that this is like the game plan going forward is we're essentially going to just punt on 2022, and hopefully we have a decent year.
What they're hoping, and mark my words, what they're hoping is that Hurts is doing a lot of work in the offseason to improve. They're putting some pieces around him, not like blockbuster pieces. They want him to do well enough as trade bait for next year.
Yeah.
Because you can trade an above average quarterback for a first rounder.
Right.
And Sammy Sleeves teams back in the day went for a first rounder. Jalen Hurts is better than Sammy Sleeves.
Yeah, and there will be teams that need a franchise quarterback.
An
that
immediate
will go
need at quarterback who thinks if we can just get a game manager, like a Tennessee Titans,
yeah,
who have a really strong ground game and they don't want to pay that guy much more.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill.
You know? I mean, how long is his contract going to go? I don't remember. Did he just re-sign, or is he kind of...
You think he's got another couple years left.
Why not just go to another game manager with Jalen Hurts? Yeah. Come on, Tennessee.
Who can run?
Yeah, who can run? Let's go, Tennessee. First rounder for Jalen Hurts.
You can do
there
that.
You go.
You could do Panthers. You could do...
And then all of a sudden, the Eagles end up with 3 first-round picks in 2023.
Yep, and then you go get your quarterback.
Then you go get your quarterback.
Yep. So, unfortunately, that's the way I think this kind of breaks down.
That's what I would do.
Yep. Oh,
I'm not a GM, though.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Interesting moves in the non-playing NFL season. But now we officially move away from football. Mikey, get that football out of here.
Get out of here, football.
Yes, it's time to get to the most glorious event of the sporting year. Yes, you knew it was coming, folks. Folks, it's time to talk about the 2022 Masters Tournament. Yes! Yes, everyone get excited. It's the Masters on CBS.
Don't mind me. I'm taking a nap.
No! Wake up, Mike! This is it! This is the moment! Yes!
How can you shout excitedly to this move to this music?
Ah-ha! I'm ready to go!
But like this music, like it's not like music that pumps somebody up. Nobody's like cheering. They're not like, woo, yeah.
Me.
You. No, I know the Masters is very exciting for you. This is the big golf event of the year.
Yes.
Like, this is the biggest. Out of all the four majors, this is probably the biggest.
Yes, you know, there's the four major golf events, but kind of everyone nods their heads in agreement that the Masters is the Super Bowl of the golf calendar. I mean, this is the one that all the legends played at. This is, you know, it's... You know, I know I'm going to sound very corny here, but, you know, this is the one that, you know, every generation has seen their greats come through and win the Masters Championship. This is the one that, you know, has stood through the test of time. The same venue, the same championship. This is the one all golfers dream of winning one day.
Right.
So it holds a special place. It does. At Augusta, you know. You almost have to talk with that special air where, you know, the Masters on CBS. Like, it just flows right off. Like,
what are you going to do when they change networks?
I don't know. I wonder what the contract is. I bet you it's like a 20-year contract or
the
something.
The Masters on Fox Sports.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, no.
They have the little football robot run out there and, like, crush a golf ball 600 yards.
Yeah. The Masters on TBS.
On TBS.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, no. But the Masters on CBS. This sounds right.
It's that soft C.
Yeah.
CBS.
CBS.
Not Fox.
Yeah, go Fox yourself.
Go Fox yourself.
Yeah.
But enough joking aside about networks. Rich, what are the big stories here in the Masters this year?
Well, I mean, up until a couple hours ago, it was kind of actually quiet. But then Tiger Woods had a press conference and officially announced that he is going to make a return to Augusta and will compete in the Masters this weekend.
Wow.
Which is...
That's always pretty big news.
This is one of those things that you read and you're like, oh, of course he's going to come back. But I think everybody forgets where Tiger Woods was a couple years ago. He was in a severe car accident.
Yeah.
I mean, they said his leg was all jacked up, and they actually think, you know, ironically enough, you're going to laugh at this, the problem with Tiger Woods competing in the Masters isn't going to be him swinging. It's actually going to be his ability to walk the course.
I mean, no.
You have to walk the course. There's no carts.
There's no cart. Oh.
Yeah.
So you have to, I mean, that, you're right. I mean, it does sound weird, but if you, if you have leg injuries, obviously it's going to make it way, way harder. Yeah. So
it is actually a really big concern that Tiger Woods is trying to make this return, and we don't know whether or not he can actually, you know, play and walk a full 18 holes.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I still think this is a great sign that, you know, his spirits are back up. He's trying to make one more go at it.
Especially since he just won this in 2019. He won the Masters. So, like, I'm looking at his Wikipedia page because that's where all the best research is done.
There you go.
And, you know, in the early 2000s, it was all Tiger all the time. Then around 2000 was like 6-ish, 2008, just disappeared.
Well,
just like disappeared for like a decade. And then he finally came back, and then it's like, guess what? Car crash.
Yeah.
So this would be a huge comeback story if he was able to, one, you know, revive his career once in 2019 and then revive it again in 2022.
Yeah. I really think,
do you think
though,
he can do it though?
I think he's just playing with house money at this point. I mean, really, just the fact that if he comes back and finishes, you know, 36 holes on Thursday and Friday, that alone is a success story, considering he was in a very severe car accident. I mean, there were rumors he wasn't even going to play golf again. Like, it was that bad of an accident.
Yeah.
So if he comes back and he finishes 36 holes on Thursday and Friday, that's a win right there. He doesn't even have to make the cut. You know, that alone is just a good feel good story.
Yeah, it's like a testament. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many more things does he need? Majors does he need?
How many more things does he need?
Like, how far away is he from being like the best golfer of all time?
Oh, most majors.
Yeah,
won?
Most majors. Yeah.
So Jack Nicklaus has 19. I think Tiger Woods has 14.
According to Wikipedia, he has 15.
15? Oh, I guess the last one makes it 15. So he needs four more.
He's not going to do it.
Nah, I think it's too late in the game to.
Yeah, he's like 46, coming off of a car crash, and
although Phil Mickelson won a major at 50, so it's not entirely impossible. But
he's got to win four in the next 4 years.
Yeah,
seems like a tall task.
A little bit, not
impossible.
Right, very difficult, but not impossible. That, as Al Neary would say in Godfather Part Two.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can start trending in that direction with this year's Masters. Are you pulling for him?
I mean, sure. I want him to be safe, and I want him to healthily make it the 36 holes.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes out on Thursday or Friday and has to quit or something, because,
man, that would be a shame.
The problem is his leg. His actual leg is messed up.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, there's no shame in that. If you're, you know, we've seen players withdraw, you know, if, you know, they got too much pain or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're, like, I know the old adage of, like, oh, push through it, or, you know, whatever, you know, suck it up. But, like, if your body can't, it can't. You're not, like, you don't want to hurt yourself just to prove a point.
Right.
You know, because then at the end of the day, you end up losing regardless.
Right. And he's really playing with house money, considering how bad that car injury was.
Yeah.
So, I think he's, you know, I'm rooting for him, but I don't, you know, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to kill
us.
Himself to try and, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So other than that, there's been kind of really no big headlines going into this. And that is really because this is the most wide open Masters race I've seen in quite some time.
Really?
Just to give you some idea, usually when we get to the odds, because, you know, I got to see the betting market. You know, usually you see like a favorite who's at, you know, 4-1 odds, 6-1 odds. 7-1 odds. The favorite, if you can call him the favorite, is John Rahm. He's at 10-1. He's the favorite.
10-1? That's
so
pretty steep.
That means he's the favorite, but not very confident.
Yeah.
So this is literally a wide open.
Put a couple dollars on everybody.
You could. There's no, look.
It's one strategy.
Look, so John Rahm at 10-1. Next is Justin Thomas at 14-1. Next we have former world number one Dustin Johnson, putter Cameron Smith, and Scottie Scheffler at 16-1. Rory McIlroy is at 18-1. Brooks Koepka, I know you like him, 20-1. Former Masters champion and former young heartthrob Jordan Spieth, 20-1. Last year's Masters champion Colin Morikawa to repeat, 20-1.
Not too confident that he'll repeat. Interesting.
Yep. Patrick Cantlay, 20-1. Xander Schauffele at 22-1. Bryson DeChambeau, I remember he's the one with the rivalry with Brooks Koepka.
That's right.
He's at 35-1. Just we were talking about Tiger Woods, 40-1. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty wide open. I mean, this might actually, you might have a good point. This might be the one
money around.
Yeah, you take 10, 15 bucks and you put $1 or $2 on a few of those golfers, because this is a wide open race.
Yeah.
There's no clear favorite. And if there is a clear favorite, just not strong enough.
Yeah. Just take like you said, like 20 bucks and just like a dollar here, a dollar there. Cover all your bases. All you need is one of them to hit. Odds are you'll make your money back, at least.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
So something. This might be a very interesting golf betting opportunity if that's how you like to play. So
do it, Rich. Do it.
Hey, maybe I will.
Do it.
Never know. But I'm looking forward to the Masters. This is the Super Bowl of golf every year. I mean, it's just the course is amazing. You know, there's several iconic holes. The one I always think of is that 12th, you know, that par 3 that, man, it makes or breaks golfers with the river that runs right in front of the green. And, you know, people love to try and finesse it a little bit, but then they get too cute and they hit it wrong and poop, goes right in the water. And it just kills around. I mean, it's like the ultimate mind.
That's like the worst thing you can do in golf, because you take a penalty.
Yep, and you got to shoot again.
Yeah, so it can quickly get out of hand.
I mean, Jordan Spieth, unfortunately, had that happen a couple of years ago, just killed his round. So, I mean, it's one of those just great tests for golfers everywhere, and everyone that plays golf or follows golf can respect the legacy and the history of the course. If you're a golf fan, it hits you in the heart. It hits you in the cockles of your heart, you know.
Right in the cockles.
Right. You know how important the Masters is, so. Had to mention that, and next week we'll give you the report on who won and how they won and stuff like that. So there you go. All the sports that is fit to print.
It's a lot of sports.
Yeah, I know. Surprisingly.
Pretty much all of both of our favorite topics.
Yeah, I mean, I know. For it being...
it's like a downtime in sports, but like...
Right. It's actually pretty hectic.
It's not a downtime because of March Madness, but that doesn't count. That's college.
Well, hey, it's important if you got money in the March Madness tournament. But also, we got baseball coming up, too, so it's very exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Baseball.
Yeah, baseball. We got... NBA finals are gonna be around the corner soon. I mean, this is actually not a bad time of the year. So make sure you stay tuned with us here in the Sports Sampler and everything like that on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Which, by the way, we got to take a quick break here on the podcast, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the show. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast playing the WrestleMania Classic theme song from Super Nintendo. Why not?
There you
go. We had WrestleMania news, so why not? There you go.
Love it.
Yeah. Got to tie everything together here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast when you can.
Comes full circle.
Yep, literally. From video games and sports entertainment.
Ah.
That's what they, you know. Yeah. Sometimes instead of saying professional wrestling, they say sports entertainment. So going from the world of sports right into the second part of that phrase, it is time for, the second part of our show, the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Alrighty, we're going to kick it off with the segment where Mike is going to let you know what you should keep an eye out for this upcoming weekend with video games, movies, TV, and other things in the entertainment world. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you got for us?
All right, well, this week, remember that in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. So make sure, everyone, you grab your free games if you have either of those subscription services. Rich, for PlayStation gamers like us, we get SpongeBob SquarePants in the Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, it's supposed to be a very good remaster of, like, an old... I think it's like PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3 game. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh boy. Let me go running to get that. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I wish they would do some like more recent games, but yeah. Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
It's free.
Right.
So go get your free games this month, guys, if you are a PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold subscriber. But the big news is in movies, where Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is hitting theaters this week.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. Yes. Sonic.
Are you legitimately excited about this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the first movie was okay. I fell asleep during part of it, so I don't really remember it that well. It wasn't...
Did you fall asleep in the theater or at home?
No, No, at home. I home.
Okay. All
I right, rented good. It on Amazon. I kind of dozed a little bit.
All right. Okay, that's forgivable.
And who's to say I haven't dozed in a theater? What of it?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I get tired, man. My heart rate's only like 50, yeah.
You sound like a dead person. My heart rate's only 50.
Honest,
going down.
Honest to God, man. I don't know, man. But anyway, what'll get your
blood... You know what my diastolic is?
You don't want to get your blood pumping?
You're basically Cameron now from basically. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, so what do you got? What else is going to raise the blood pressure over there?
Sonic the Hedgehog 2, that's what's raising the blood pressure. You know, it's not doing that well critically, but fans really like it. And fans will probably be just as excited with the addition of two more classic Sonic characters with Tails and Knuckles making their debut in Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So if you're an old Sega Genesis or Sonic fan like I am, go check it out in theaters this week. But the movie that I'm actually really excited to see is Cow. Like the animal, Cow, hits select theaters and streaming services this week. This documentary follows the life of a dairy cow, giving us, quote, an intimate portrait of one dairy cow's life. The film highlights the beauty and challenges cows face and their great service to us all, end quote. It sounds silly until you see the review scores and read some of the highlights. It's doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes with a 92%. The critics are giving it like an 8 out of 10. They're talking about how it's an emotional ride and at times hard to watch, and a movie that you won't forget as it's asking viewers to reconsider their relationship with food. So it's making a lot of buzz right there with critics. That's Cow, a new documentary coming to select theaters and streaming services. So definitely go check that out. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
I'm doing it for you. Do you know what my diastolic is?
There you go. That's you, Mike.
You know what my diastolic is?
You are literally Cameron now. You've officially hit that point now in the show.
Do you know what my diastolic is?
So there you go.
Well, you know what? Even though you're playing it as a joke, it's kind of appropriate for this next topic because one of the big new streaming services is carefully monitoring their heart rate.
Uh-oh.
And it's not who you think it would be. Apple TV Plus is reportedly in a kind of make or break it situation. They are heading toward a breaking point. With staffing problems and frustrated content partners, this is breaking in a recent Business Insider article.
Do you know what my diastolic is?
So there you go.
That's exactly what they're saying. So I'm just going to read straight from the Mac Rumors article here about the topic. Industry source, Mac Rumors reports, quote, industry sources speaking to Business Insider claim that Apple TV Plus lacks, quote, a sufficiently robust infrastructure, resulting in frustrating corporate culture, that the content team is reportedly under-resourced and has irritated production partners, and the streamer's leadership structure is very flat, and key departments like marketing and publicity don't communicate enough, leaving partners to juggle multiple points of contact.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the marketing department, because I have to say this with a grain of salt because I don't subscribe to Apple TV. But I really don't know any shows on Apple TV other than the soccer one.
Ted Lasso.
That's the only
that one, like, literally 12 Emmys.
That's the only one that I know for a fact. I'm like, okay, that's Apple TV.
I don't know if Rich heard, guys. Coda won Best Picture this year.
And that was Apple
that
TV?
That was Apple TV
yeah.
Plus.
But see, that's the thing. I'm telling you, like, I don't
outside
know, maybe,
of Apple TV Plus streamers,
like,
subscribers,
like, you have to take this with a grain of salt. I'm an Android guy. I don't have Apple TV, but I don't consciously put together which shows are Apple TV.
Right.
You know, like Netflix. I know, like
their marketing is everywhere, and
you
this
see
is,
the you see. I don't know. I hear about them more often.
Right.
HBO Max. Even I know, like, Succession, Barry. Boom. 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 Apple TV, I never get the connection.
I think part
going.
Of it might be a little bit of bias because you're fairly anti-Apple.
That could be.
But I will agree with you that the marketing is not great for Apple TV Plus. You don't see it outside of Apple specific, like, websites and services. I don't think I've ever seen, like, an Apple TV Plus ad.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't, and so the article goes on. And,
like, see, that's what I'm talking. I'm trying not to be, you know, boo on Apple, but I'm trying to, like, as somebody who is outside of the Apple bubble,
right?
I can't tell you which shows belong to Apple TV.
So here's what the article goes on to say. They talk about how Apple is still marketing it like it's a physical product, like a phone or a computer, where they talk about, it's last-minute marketing for projects that have been in the works for months, sloppy press rollouts, landing pages for series that weren't ready in time, because Apple's used to, you know, getting up on stage, here's the new iPhone, and then, boom, the pre-order page is up on the website, like, the day they announce it. That's not how TV works.
No.
You have to hype TV and movies up. I mean, think about, like, nowadays we have teasers for teasers of trailers. Then you have the teasers for the trailers. Then you have the trailers. Then you have the mid and post credit scenes teasing the next teaser for the trailer for the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Apple doesn't, I guess, they're not, like, in that world. They're coming from product design with computers and phones and stuff where they can drop it at a big tech conference.
That's not how TV
and that's not how that's
works.
Not how entertainment works. As, you know, two video game guys know here. You know, we read about games 3, 4, 5 years before they come out. Movies, you hear about productions. You see trailers and TV shows as well. You follow them for, you know, sometimes years at a time. And Apple just, like, shadow drops stuff. So,
which doesn't really work.
Which doesn't work when it comes to content, which I can understand why content creators are annoyed, because they're like, we've been shooting a movie like Coda for probably years. You know, movies take probably 2 years minimum. To shoot in post-production. And Apple's like, yeah, here's this thing. Goes on to win Best Picture. I feel like nobody's seen it. Even though it is a legitimately fantastic movie. and well worth everyone going to watch it. I mean, you know, remove streaming alliances from the equation. It's fantastic. But as somebody who has Apple TV Plus, it's hard even for me to surface content within the actual app. And this is my biggest complaint that I've always had with it. So I want to go watch Ted Lasso, or I want to watch Coda, or one of the other shows I follow. And there's lots of great award-winning and highly reviewed shows on the service. It's just people don't know about it. Central Park, Severance is a new one, that dystopian sci-fi one. The one with Steve Carell in it, which I can't remember now. Again, bad marketing.
Yeah.
But I go on there, and there's no, you know, like Netflix has a list, my stuff, my list. They don't have that. They just, when you start watching a show, it will give you the next episode of that show on your homepage. But I don't always necessarily want to watch whatever's up next. I want to go to that show's landing page. Maybe I want to rewatch an episode. Maybe I dozed off and I want to watch the last 10 minutes of the previous episode, whatever it may be. To get back to that show's landing page, you have to do a lot of scrolling and searching to find the actual show. Whereas with Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, you have a list and it's just right there for you. You know?
Now, over the weekend, you made it. You told me that you didn't like HBO Max's design. Which is worse, HBO Max or Apple TV?
Apple TV.
Wow. All right. So there you go.
So for streaming, Apple TV. Because on HBO Max, they have you need a My List feature. You need some sort of feature where you can like pin shows that you want to go back and watch.
Right. Otherwise, you got to scroll through the entire thing.
You got to scroll through the whole thing. All of these major streaming services have that feature, except for Apple TV Plus. Whatever you start watching, it tries to do this like weird, like keep you in the experience thing. Like if you start watching a show, it's going to like use an algorithm to pull more shows that are similar to it and give you like a huge like up next queue that you can just start watching, like kind of like on shuffle of shows that are similar or shows that you have already started. But that's not how I consume digital content. I wager that's not how a lot of people consume digital content. Like I know my girlfriend adds shows that she's watched previously or wants to watch to her list and on Netflix, and it's just all right there for her. Even if she's watched something and she'll probably never watch it again, she adds it to her list just so that she can keep kind of like a digital record of these things.
Yeah, what you saw, what you didn't.
And Apple TV Plus, it's really, really hard to do that. Yeah. So somebody who uses the service, I can attest to the fact, like, again, and if something's not current, like if I wanted to go back and watch Foundation, you know, if I go on Apple TV Plus, I'm not going to be able to find it because I have to go over to the Apple TV Plus tab, go down to dramas and scroll through dramas until I find it instead of it being like a splash page or like in a list. You know, I can't just follow a show. You have to hunt for it every time.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Whether that's searching or scrolling. So anyway, that problem aside, this is, I think, really sad for Apple TV Plus because, like I said, they have a lot of actually really good shows and movies. Like, if you just go through and actually take the time to look at what they actually have out there, they have a lot of really good stuff out there, Coda being the latest example. I mean, it's the first streaming movie to ever win Best Picture. But I'd wager people barely watch Best Picture nominees as it is, Coda probably less so.
Yeah.
Because there's been no marketing, no push for it that I've seen. The only reason I knew about it and watched it is because I have Apple TV Plus. But if you don't have Apple TV Plus, and other people don't have Apple TV Plus, they're never going to go search it out. You know?
Yeah.
Which is really upsetting because it has really good stuff and I want it to survive for that reason. But now, like this article is saying, breaking point. What happens with content creators are now, you know, 2-3 years into the service and they're like, it's just not as good as the other ones, like in terms of discovery and in terms of, you know, viewership. When content creators bail, even if Apple has all the money in the world, they're going to go somewhere potentially where they have a better shot at being discovered.
Yeah.
Unless Apple continues to shovel huge truckloads of cash at them, which they might. But it's going to create a very anemic service with very limited capability.
By the phrasing and the words that you said in that news report, it sounds to me like they're going to consider either shutting that down or merging it with another service, you know?
Yeah. And this is, I don't want to get into the tech side too much of it, but this is an example of like, Apple was really good with product design. Like their laptops, their phones, really great design and UI. But then they got weird with branching off into too many sectors that they didn't need to be in. Now I hear they're going to make a car. I'm like, you don't need to make a car.
No, that got canceled finally.
It got canceled finally? Who knows? It keeps coming back like every other year they keep talking about. And they're going to make like a $3,000 AR, VR headset. I'm like, why? Just stick to phones and computers and tablets. Like that's... And iTunes.
That's your bread and butter.
That's your bread and butter. You don't really need to do any... Like sometimes you should just specialize in product design.
Yep.
You know? But that's a whole other conversation. But for the time being, my humble plea, go check out Apple TV Plus if you haven't. It's a really good service. If you have the means, if you have the devices especially, go check it out. Really good stuff on there, especially Coda. If there's some sort of promo where you can get a week or month free, I highly recommend checking it out. This is my plea to help keep it alive because there's a lot of good shows on there. Just nobody knows about them. And it's so frustrating.
But it may have to go the way of like a YouTube Red where it needs to get folded into something else.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They need to make it easier to get the service and then navigate and use the service.
Well, it might be too late
for
that.
They learned nothing from iTunes.
It might be too late if this is already at the breaking point. So
yeah. So
we'll see where that ends up.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, you've got the Spider-Man shirt on. So I had a feeling that there was going to be something in the Spidey universe that you wanted to talk about. And I guess there's kind of minor spoilers in this.
Yeah, there's minor spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home.
It's a spoiler. Ooh, it's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away.
Oh, and Morbius.
And Morbius. Whoops. That movie.
Well, I figure nobody's seen it because it has a 16 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about?
So I did not watch the movie because I won't subject myself to that.
Very good. Good call.
But what I did do was read up about post-credits scenes because I knew of the connections that Morbius had to the rest of the universe. And this is why I said Spider-Man No Way Home. Spoilers, because I think every superhero movie from here on out is going to have spoilers for that movie, because if you've watched it, you know of the multiversal implications. So I'm just going to cut right to the chase. The mid-credits and end-credits scenes are causing a whole lot of confusion for fans and is opening up a can of worms for everyone. The mid-credits scene in Morbius directly ties into the Spider-Man MCU movies. More explicitly than the Venom scene and more explicitly than the No Way Home scene. So just right off the bat, you see a rift open just like in No Way Home. And out of that rift comes Adrian Toomes, a.k.a. Vulture, who mysteriously appears in a New York City jail cell.
That's Michael Keaton?
That's Michael Keaton, okay. Yes. So he was the one you saw in the trailer.
Yep.
So that it's, and everybody wondered, is he the same Vulture? Yes, he is the exact same Vulture as the MCU version. Here's where it gets weird. This is what everyone thinks these credit scenes are so stupid. For some reason, he just understands that he jumped dimensions, and he quips that he hopes there's better food in this one. So, okay, you just...
Is he a scientist? Does he know parallel universes and stuff like that?
Yeah, but it's still like weird. You just get teleported to another dimension. You're like, huh, cool. Hope there's better food. I feel like you'd react a bit more like, whoa, what was that, you know? Like, even the... Anyway, so then, again, weird, because he's just a random John Doe prisoner who appeared in a prison, they just release him.
Well, in his universe, he hasn't committed a crime then.
But, like, no background, it doesn't cause more of a stir. I don't know. It just seemed odd.
Okay.
Like, somebody's in a prison, we'll just let him go.
Yeah, sure.
We can't figure out who he is. I feel like there'd be more of a... You know, a hoopla about it.
Right.
But anyway, so he's out now. And he swoops down, and he is in his suit. He swoops down near Morbius, which I don't know how he got his suit in this new universe. I guess he just built a new one. And he tells Morbius that the dimension jump, this dimension thing, was because of Spider-Man. Morbius doesn't react. He's like, okay, Spider-Man.
Yeah, sure,
so
that guy.
That clues everybody in. Spider-Man essentially... would have to exist in the Venomverse for Morbius not to be like, who's Spider-Man?
So, yeah, so are they all, like, mixing and jiving in, like, one big pot of soup then?
So, I'll get to that in just a second, because then Vulture suggests that him and Morbius should get together with other people who are like them and do some quote-unquote good, implying a Sinister Six spinoff. Now, here's the problem with the Sinister Six, and the same problem that I have with Venom. You can't do Sinister Six unless you have the hero who's supposed to fight said villain. Now, there's a couple different avenues they could take. Venom, in the Venomverse, is an anti-hero. Could Venom fight the Sinister Six? Potentially. That would be weird. The more likely solution, and probably what will eventually happen, is they will use the rifts opening up to steal Tom Holland back into the Sony Venomverse and have Tom Holland continue to be Spider-Man and try to make success off of name recognition alone. And the multiverse thing makes it a little bit easier for them to do that. I don't know how likely that is or how soon that will happen. Probably a few years out, because they're making at least one more movie with the MCU. At least one or two more, because Tom Holland will be in Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
And he's in one other unannounced project. So Marvel still has him for the time being.
Yes.
Doesn't mean Sony can't yank him away at any time, though. What I think would be a really cool solution, and I really hope that Sony's listening right now, because obviously they're huge fans.
Yeah, call Sony up.
Hello, Mr. Sony. Andrew Garfield. So I know I mentioned it before. I'm going to keep mentioning it, because when No Way Home came out, the only Spider-Man people wanted to talk about was Andrew Garfield. Like, most of the press surrounded him. Oh, isn't it so quirky and funny he almost ruined the spoiler? Oh, weren't his scenes the best scenes? Oh, it's such a shame he didn't get a third one. There was a weird amount of press around Andrew Garfield, right?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Like, Toby, when you...
Toby got some, too.
Did he, though?
Got some. Probably not to the extent of Garfield, because you're right, Garfield never got the third movie, so it's kind of like, it was like vindication for him.
Right. In Morbius, they also reference Rhino, who was also referenced in that last Andrew Garfield movie, you know, before his trilogy got derailed. So people are, like, looking at these things and, you know...
And he's still young enough, too.
He's still young enough, and I just think it would make so much sense. You introduced him. He had such a strong plot line in No Way Home. Why not just have two Spider-Men? Why not have Andrew Garfield in the Venomverse? Because then that makes sense that everyone knows Spider-Man. Instead of yanking one away from another universe, just have one exist there already. And let Tom Holland stay in the MCU. Sony gets twice the money. They can churn out as many Spider-Man films as they want.
I guess it also comes down to Andrew Garfield himself, too, because he's now an accomplished actor.
Now he's an auteur, I know.
Yeah, he's been nominated now for Best Actor. I don't know. I guess the question is going to be, would there be a commitment to him that would be good enough for him to really, you know, play Spider-Man seriously again?
Yeah, that is the big question, because after No Way Home, he had, I can't remember the movie, but it looked good. I wanted to see it. But yeah, he's, you know, got a lot of great press as a serious actor now, not just, you know, Spider-Man.
So it may be, you know, maybe too late, but we'll see.
Yeah, so it's got everybody all wondering and trying to figure out what's going on. I'm a fan of the multiple Spider-Man, multiple Venom theory. The more likely theory is that after Tom Holland's next two movies and the MCU, they are going to snatch him back. And that will effectively be the end of Spider-Man in cinema, because Sony has a terrible track record with their own movies.
Yeah.
Morbius got a 16.
Ugh.
Rich, the worst MCU movie you can imagine. Nowhere near as bad as 16%.
No, 16 is devastatingly bad.
That is like, even The Eternals, I think, was probably better. And The Eternals was one of the worst movies I've seen. But I don't think I've seen a movie that's like 16%, other than The Room.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree with me on that. The Eternals was horrible.
The Eternals was bad.
Thank you.
I was very disappointed in that movie.
Thank you. All right, well, you know what? Something that's not horrible.
What's that?
It's the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandata bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news!
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps these stories hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading? And is it Florida?
Well, this is kind of 50-50 here. So the people...
50-50?
The people here are from North Carolina.
Okay.
But the story takes place in Florida.
Okay.
So is it a Florida odd news story?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, we'll accept it then.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
But just barely.
Barely.
Because it has, you're right, it does have that North Carolinian heritage.
Yes.
Which may or may not be a good thing in this case.
Well, maybe, you know what? It's further proof that just when you go into Florida, just all bets are off.
It doesn't matter where you're from. You could be the best person in the world, and you go to Florida, and you have a non-zero chance of becoming a criminal.
Yes. Sorry. This is the risk you take by going to Florida.
So what happened?
Yep. Well, we have... You know, ironically, I'm getting married in a couple of weeks. We've got a wedding that happened in the odd news.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have a little bit of congratulations here.
This is a happy, momentous occasion.
Yep. This North Carolina couple, they got married and had their wedding in Florida in Collier County. In Naples, Florida. That's where this was. The wedding itself might have gone off fine, but unfortunately, somewhere along the line, things got a little awry as cops were called to a Florida hotel where they found the newlywed bride and groom straight up fist fighting. Just
wow.
Yeah, right at each other.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, now you f***ed up.
It's not.
You have f***ed up now.
That's actual audio of the fight, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, right?
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, now you f***ed up. You have f***ed up now.
Actual audio.
It's just them going back and forth. I was gonna say, this is not a normal odd news fight, because normally it's like somebody like slaps someone with a fish stick, somebody else like dumps, you know, a bucket of poop on someone for some reason.
Well, we're not going.
This is just straight up. This is like straight up fighting.
I mean, look. So we're not going to go into wacky items in this story. No.
Okay.
But look, this is kind of weird to imagine because cops say that the bride was still in her wedding dress.
Oh no!
And the groom was still in his suit.
Yikes.
So they are literally...
That is off to a great start.
So even though it's in the hotel, they did not make it to their honeymoon suite.
They didn't... Like, they came off the dance floor and they're already swinging.
Already. What the hell?
Wow. What happened that night that did that?
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh! Now you f***ed up! You have f***ed up now!
Cops said that the fist fight had to have been going on for some time because Gina, by the way, I didn't give you the names of the people. Well. Sorry, I jumped ahead in the story. This is 32-year-old Stephanie Ginas and 43-year-old John Gerhard. What a name. Gerhard.
Also, they're 11 years apart. Wow.
Hey, you know, sometimes age differences work.
Yeah.
John Gerhard.
Gerhard.
What a name.
I was trying to say go hard, but they're like, Gerhard.
Gerhard. You got to get her done. You got to get Gerhard.
You
got to
get her Gerhard.
You got to get her done. Get Gerhard.
He's like related to like Boomhauer.
I think Stephanie realized that was going to be her last name and got in a fist fight
Stephanie
with
Stephanie Gerhard?
Stephanie Gerhard. Yeah.
God, I feel bad.
It's a horrible name.
It really, yeah.
Well, anyway, I jumped ahead in the story. I'm sorry I'm all over the place here. But I just want to get this visual out there. Because she's in her wedding dress, and a cop said the fight had to have gone on for several minutes because she was dripping blood all over the white wedding dress. She doesn't care.
God.
This is straight up no holds barred ECW style.
They
here.
Were really hitting if you're drawing blood.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Wow. Also, she probably looked like something out of a horror movie. Like, you always see the scene where, like, the bride with the dress and, like, there's just, like, blood everywhere and, like, the long, like, for some reason, wet black hair, like laying over their face, like creepy like that. She probably looked like that.
Yeah, she is just full-blown, we're having a fight, I'm going 100%, you ain't knocking me out. I don't hear no bell.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That was her. That was her charging at him.
We got the full audio. Wait a minute. So here we go with the full audio.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, now you f***ed up. You have f***ed up now.
There you go. We got the full ECW match.
You could probably...
There you go.
You could probably make an entire narrative and fight with just sound clips.
I think we got it.
You just did. You have like the first act.
We've got the first act of the fight there. Then you
play Consequences Will Never Be the Same. That's the cop showing up.
The cop shows up.
Consequences will never be the same. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police because you done goofed.
Yeah, there you go. That's the cop showing up.
I mean, you almost have it. You have a whole narrative arc going on here.
Yeah, we could put together the sound clip.
That's amazing.
The crispy noodle story.
That's amazing.
Of these two here. That's how we imagine this went down.
Not imagine. That's it.
That's it. That's as far the audio. As we're concerned, that's the audio. That's legit audio taken from this Florida hotel.
So she's dripping blood. Still in her gown.
Yeah.
And she threw him through something, I imagine.
Yeah, probably at some point.
So I love the fact that... Now, wait, what time of day was this? Like, this is immediately after the wedding, I see.
Yeah, so this is sometime that night.
Like, everybody has, like, what do they do? Like, the final dance now, and then everybody, like, wanders off into the sunset, and they just go straight up to the room and just start hitting each other.
Well, they didn't make it to the room. Because they're still in their full-blown attire.
They made it somewhere.
But not to the room.
Not to the room.
They didn't make it to the
So where were
suite.
They fighting?
Somewhere in the hotel. But not...
Oh, I thought they were in a hotel room.
No, they did not make it to the hotel room.
Oh.
That's how soon this fight came out.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm just going to, you know, probably play it safe here. Maybe you two should have gotten married.
They should, yeah... Yeah, I hope the ink is still wet on that marriage license.
Yeah, can we scrub that off?
Just rub it out a little bit.
Yeah. So Gerhard said that Genus headbutted him and broke his nose.
That's the blood.
Gina has a bloody nose and a busted upper lip.
Oh, God.
I mean, they were going hard. Yeah.
They were really going. Like, this wasn't like slaps or like shoves or like a body punch or two. They were like fighting to injure.
Yeah, they're going
full
blown.
That was her charging with her head. Headbutted him?
Yeah.
Look, this is just a theory of mine. When a headbutt is involved, a fight takes it. There's like another level of fighting.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, shoving, there's slapping, there's punching. But when you throw headbutts, that's, like, that elevates the whole situation.
Yep.
Right?
For our video viewers, that's the newlywed couple prison.
Oh, beautiful. Is that the wedding photo?
I guess that's going to have to be the new wedding photo. There you go, in their orange jumpsuits, and yeah, wow. He's got a broken nose.
Yeah,
he's,
he does.
He's got something wrong with his nose.
I can't tell from all the way over here, but she doesn't look like she got beat up that bad.
No, I
actually
think...
they both don't look. I mean, other than the broken nose, they're
yeah, you know, they were very loving towards the end. You know, she didn't really suffer that much. Yeah, she's
no.
fine.
Yeah, huh?
So there you go. That's our fighting wedding couple.
Lovely.
There.
Just lovely. They make such a handsome couple.
Yep. So if you're wondering what could have caused this to escalate so much so fast, allegedly there was a love triangle involving...
Oh, stay classy, Florida. I love it.
Involving Gerhard's brother.
Oh, no.
A bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Because you done goofed.
Okay, so now the extreme nastiness is the first clip in the story. And then, and then she says... I can't remember the clip, but then he...
Okay, yeah. So, all right, so so this is the Crispy Noodle Theater, how we're going to play the sound clips to explain the story.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, now you f***ed up. You have f***ed up now.
Oh, my balls.
There you go.
Yes.
The full-blown Crispy Noodle Theater.
That is the full and truthful recounting of events. They honestly should just take that to court and just play that.
I think
that's admissible.
Close.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty close to what you're going to get to the actual incident.
Yeah.
Both Genus and Gerhard both claimed to be each other's primary aggressor, according to the police reports. So both are arrested for domestic battery.
Oh, man.
So
these are the principles upon which marriage are founded. Like this. Oh, man.
They were both released after posting $1,000 bond, but. Boy, that's awkward.
There goes all those wedding gifts.
Yeah, they went all.
Well, thank God we got some good gifts because we had to pay to get out of jail.
All goes to the state of Florida now.
Wow.
Also, does this mean they have to go back to North Carolina and then come back to Florida for their hearing? That sucks.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless, are they permanently in Florida now? Or no, they just got married in Florida.
They got married in Florida.
See, don't, like, even for brief stints, it's dangerous to be in Florida.
Yeah, because you just turn.
Between hurricanes, alligators, Florida man, the heat.
It's just dangerous.
Florida's just constantly assaulting you.
It's just dangerous. If you go to Florida, you're at your own risk because you might turn into the next Florida Odd News story.
It's true. Look, so. they went there for a very happy reason and ended up. Criminals.
Yeah.
That's how quickly it can happen.
I'm
this
also,
is like a PSA to avoid Florida.
Also, I love the brother just got the hell out of there. Like,
yeah,
okay.
How did he not get involved in any of this? He's like, well, I boned your wife. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll see you back in Carolina. Bye.
Can I take a piece of the cake with me? Thanks. Awesome.
Bye-bye. I'll see you guys in North Carolina.
He
bye-bye.
Just pieces out.
Yeah, you guys handle this on your own. Bye.
What a disaster.
Yeah. So, there you go. That is what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
Trashy Florida.
Oh, yeah. Stay trashy Florida. But with that, it is officially time to wrap this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast up. Whew. What a story.
What a tale.
And told.
With, yeah. Told the audio
through,
clips. I love it.
Told through the Crispy Noodle Sound Clip Theater.
Beautiful.
Yes.
We should do more stories like that. That's
that was,
great.
That was high art. I don't care what anybody says. That should win an Emmy.
Hear, hear. I concur.
Thank you.
Harumph.
Well, if you want more Emmy-winning podcast stories, check out our past episodes at thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media, Hubbabaloo, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
That's right. In addition to all that hullabaloo, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube. Just go to our YouTube channel and look for the video versions of the podcast there. You can also get the audio-only version of the podcast by subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Amazon devices. We're literally everywhere. If you can't find us, it's your own fault. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
Yep, and with the podcast feed, yeah, you can download episodes. You can bring us on the go. We're available on Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. So if you're making a trip, if you're going to go to Florida, good luck. But if you want some research, make sure you download some episodes of the podcast.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
If you're going to Florida, brush up on some of the Florida Anu so you're ready.
Yeah.
Brace yourself.
We've got history.
We've
got a lot of Florida stories that you may want to be aware of. So make sure you do that as well.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is my part.
All right. Mikey's just done. He's after that Florida Anu story, he's done.
Damn.
If you want to follow us on Twitter individually, I am at Rich Liebig. RichLiebig. Mikey.
I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. Don't send me anything because I'll forget my cues. Send it all to Rich.
Yeah, just send it all to me at this point. And if we use your material, I'll give you a crispy noodle sausage shout out on the episode. So make sure you do that. But for right now, that will wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Mike!
Yes! I've only been doing it for 400 episodes.
Are you good over there? Anything else?
I'm good, everyone. Stay safe.
All right.
Stay crispy.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later! Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.